Today we continue what we started last week, which was to read through the Sermon on the Plain. This is Luke's version of the same sermon that we also call the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. Just as Jesus preached it on the Mount in Matthew and is now preaching it on the plain, here Jesus probably preached this throughout Judea and Samaria in his ministry as a circuit sermon. So it's fitting for us to talk about it this morning, to hear Jesus' words to us. Jesus revisits the golden rule, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, to do to the other what you would want that other person to do to you, to imagine yourself as a recipient of your own actions. God teaches us to treat others with the same kind of treatment we would want them to treat us, the same kind of kindness that we would like to receive, understanding, the same kind of good. Jesus ramps it up even higher and says, don't just do that for your neighbor, do that even for your enemy, the one who is bent against you. Jesus tells us we are to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies, and to do good to them. And certainly, this is no easy task. Jesus says that even unbelievers take the easy road, which is to love those who love them. Jesus is asking us to take the hard road, the courageous road, the road that requires strength of character and a strength that is rooted not in ourselves but in the gospel. For this is certainly the way of the cross, to love our enemies with no expectation in return, just as Jesus loved those who crucified him and even from the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. At the very heart of this command is mercy in our text today. Jesus actually kind of spins it a little bit. He says, you are to show mercy just as you have received mercy. It's kind of the golden rule with at the heart of this kind of love is mercy. And you'll remember what mercy is. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Mercy is God withholding the punishment, withholding the judgment that we have deserved for our actions, just as we earlier confessed our sins and our shortcomings in the service. When Moses wanted to know God and to see him as a person would see another person face to face, God, you'll remember, put him in a cleft of the rock and preached a sermon to him. And mercy was at the heart of who God says he is. Because as he passed by, he said, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. It begins with mercy. And it ends with mercy, just as God is the beginning and the end of love. Mercy is synonymous with pity, compassion, and empathy. God's mercy is based on his understanding that we are simply wayward souls. He has compassion on us. And so he extends his love to us, even though we don't deserve it, which is grace. And so God is gracious to us by sending his Son, by forgiving our sins, and by giving us eternal life. God is merciful because he knows our frame. He knows our story. He knows the story of our past. He knows what's going on in our deepest thoughts and in our hearts. And he also knows where he's taking us. God is up to something in our lives when he extends mercy to us. He doesn't forget our sins. He chooses not to remind us of our sins. But by sowing the seed of mercy in our lives, by forgiving us, he's bringing contentment and peace and joy into the present. And he's also extending that out into our future so that we too would be the conduits and the instruments of his grace and mercy. And so God, through Jesus, asks us to be merciful, just as he was merciful to us. That is to say, in our imagination, to extend the same kind of compassion to those who wrong us, believing that God will be up to something, that he will do a work in that person's life. He'll sow a seed of mercy in that person's life that will bear the fruit of love. I'm reminded by the text of a friend of mine named Hisham Shahab. Hisham is from Lebanon, from Beirut, Lebanon. He grew up in the 1960s and 70s when there was a civil war in Lebanon between the Christians and the Muslims. Hisham grew up Muslim. He and his brother took up arms, and to this day he doesn't know if he ever hurt or killed anybody, another Christian, but he did fire shots in the civil war that he experienced there in Lebanon. What he does know is that his brother was killed. And when his brother was killed, there was a deep-seated hatred that was sown in his heart, a contempt for all Christians. And as it would happen, Hisham ran into a Lutheran pastor, a missionary from the United States, who shared the gospel with him. Just came along, and Hisham wanted to argue against Christianity and for Islam. And this pastor encouraged him to read the Sermon on the Mount, our text this morning from Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. The line that blew Hisham away was for Jesus to say, "Love your enemies." He didn't see that working in his context. Certainly did not see the Christians applying that same rule to him as the enemy of Christians there in Lebanon. And it was through that text, through that radical charge that Jesus gives, that he saw that that could only be a divine source. Only God could know that kind of love that would ask you and me to pray for our enemies and to love our enemies and to be merciful just as God was merciful to us. And so Hisham not only became a Christian, he's now serving as a Lutheran pastor in the Chicago area today. And he gives credit to this one little scripture: love and pray for your enemies, Jesus says. Hisham came to realize that God was up to something, that God had sowed the seed of mercy in his heart. He didn't have to live in that captivity of rage and anger, that he could leave up the vengeance to God. God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." He didn't have to take that upon himself. What he got to take upon himself was the mercy of God, and he was also able to pay that forward for the rest of his life. God is up to something in your life. God has extended mercy to you. He's opened your eyes to his love that's unconditional, that forgives our sins for a reason. He is also sowing a seed in our hearts and in our lives so that we would also be instruments of his mercy and grace. In order to extend that mercy to others, you and I have to believe that God will be up to something if not already up to something in those that we call our enemies? And doesn't this text beg the question, who is our enemy? By Jesus' definition, no one is our enemy in him. In fact, you could probably only say it's only the capital E enemy that's the enemy that would prevent us from sharing the love of Jesus and the grace and mercy that he has extended to us. This is what changes people, Jesus tells us, what transforms them into enemies to friends. And even better than that, Hisham is not only my friend, he's my brother in Christ. I love that story that we read, that Mike read earlier from Genesis about Joseph. Think about someone who could have been so angry and so resentful toward his brothers. Just in case you don't know the story, his brothers sold him into slavery. First they left him for dead in a pit, and then they sold him for just a bag full of coins to these traders, to these slave masters that took him into Egypt. He not only suffered through his slavery, he was also falsely accused of rape. He spent time in prison in Egypt. But God used that suffering and that pain. God had mercy on him and raised him up through his wisdom to become the governor of Egypt. Through Joseph's wisdom, God brought the whole nation of Egypt and that whole region through 7 years of deadly famine. And after all of that happens, his brothers show up. And when they finally realize who he is, they're fearing for their lives. Why? Because they expect for him to treat them the way they treated him, right? To do unto them the way they did to him. But instead, what does Joseph do? He has mercy on them, just as he experienced the mercy and the grace of God in his life. Joseph will say, "Who am I to be in the place of God?" He'll say, "What you meant for evil in selling me to slavery, God meant for good." In other words, I believe that God was up to something. Even in the evil that you did in my life, I knew that God would do good and would make good out of that. And so God was up indeed to something. So when Joseph loved his enemies, loved his own brothers, he was simply living out the life that he had in Christ, we would say, in the New Testament. This is how God deals with evil. He transforms us from enemies into friends and sisters and brothers in Christ. And we get to believe that God is indeed up to something in all of the lives we see around us. Even, and maybe even especially, in the lives of our enemies. Isn't that what we see in the cross of Christ? We see him dying on the cross, horribly treated and betrayed by his own friend and disciple, mocked. And how does Jesus answer? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And so these enemies of his, by faith, can become children of the Most High. Through his death and his resurrection, he raises them up to shine more brightly than the sun. To not only be the recipients of mercy, but agents of that godly, divine mercy. In the name of Jesus, amen.